Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. So Dave, we're going to be chatting about the precious metals market as we usually do. We'll probably get into some of the stocks as well, but just as a broad comment here, look, we're having a sell-off again today. Clearly some fear has crept into these markets on the back of the new COVID variant, as well as some comments out of Jerome Powell just this week regarding the taper program and possibly ramping that up. So tapering the QE program faster. We are seeing everything drop. But since we are focusing on the precious metals, fact of the matter is this month was looking good for gold until just the last week or so. And then we saw gold drop pretty heavily, going to be negative, close this month in negative territory. Fact of the matter is we can talk about all these stocks and the gold price and say, this is undervalued, this is on sale, look at the market cap compared to the cash in the bank and the assets in the ground. Problem is, the market keeps on going down. This market, this gold market, is really shitty right now. There's no denying that. And the stocks keep on fading lower, even arguably some of the good ones. There are a handful of good stocks that are holding up there. But Dave, change my mind. When you're looking at this market right now, and we've been in over a year and a half pullback, what's to like about this bear market?
Well, what's to like about it is basically what you've just explained, how bad it is. I mean, I've been in this sector for two decades now. And, you know, just when I feel like, okay, this is the last frustration I could take, I should just sell everything and put it in cash and wait till this thing bottoms. That's usually when it starts to turn around. We've had yet another fake out breakout in the sector. We had a weekly close above 1850 in gold. The miners responded. You know, the GDX ran up to 35, the resistance at 35. The GDXJ ran up to resistance at that 48 level. It looked like we'd already created a bottom at the end of September, and we still may have, but we had the rug pulled out from under us yet again. This is, I don't know how many times we've had these fake outs. I think it's like five or six times during this consolidation. And it just makes people even more and more frustrated. And if you take a look at the volume, I brought this up to you earlier. If you take a look at the volume, go back 3 years on the GDXJ and the GDX, the volume just continues to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. Nobody cares about this sector. And that's the perfect time to accumulate things at these cheap prices. You can't do it on margin. You have to have a longer term view when you're buying and holding these things. You have to make sure that the company's cashed up. You know, I provided what you should be looking for before you start buying these things that are just completely bombed out to hold for a long period of time. That's what you have to do. And you buy fishing lines and sell rhino horns. I mean, that's the way you make money in this sector. And if you take a look at what the gold stocks have done during this latest fake out, they've held up really, really well, especially in the face of the stock market now seeing some panic selling coming into it. Last week, we had the gold price do a $100 reversal, of course, right into options expiration day, where on options expiration day, the gold price went below 1800. Lo and behold, all those 1800 options expired worthless. So, but the gold shares, the GDX went down about the same percentage as the gold price. Previously, when we see these fake out breakouts, the gold stocks get obliterated. They go down at least two or three times the gold price. And look at a day like today. We had a $40 reversal in the gold price today. The gold price ran up to 1810 resistance. And then Jerome Powell comes out and says, okay, gee, I guess inflation isn't transitory. We're going to have to step up our tapering program. And by the way, even though we're concerned about this Delta, this new COVID variant, we're gonna basically end our tapering program early. That's freaked out the markets. Everybody's selling everything, and yet the GDXJ is down less than 1%. So my contention is that yes, these things can go lower, but if you're accumulating them with money that you can afford to have sit for a while and maybe go down a little more, believe me, in about 6 months to a year's time, the right stocks, the quality juniors, are going to be a lot higher than they are now.
Well, Dave, I think you make some good points there. And there's no doubt that everything's in a kerfuffle over these comments from Powell today about tapering and speeding it up, which means the rate hikes are coming sooner. It also means more liquidity is coming out of the markets quicker. And we were talking off mic about the period, you know, the first taper tantrum was in 2013, but there was a mini taper tantrum in 2018 that's a very similar setup. Why don't you walk the audience through, you know, kind of that analog and how you're looking at things now compared to that same period in 2018 where we saw gold and silver and the stocks do a little bit better than the pull down in the markets, but then they had a nice rebound for the next 2 years.
Yeah, right, Shad. I brought this up before we started this to record this conversation. We go back a little further. At the beginning of 2016, we had that huge move in the sector after that. I mean, that just crushing bear market that saw the GDX go down 85% from 2012 into early 2016. You know, a lot of that was short covering. And but a lot of it was new money coming into the sector after, you know, waiting for a major bottom to take place. But it took 2 years for that move to come off. And what happened at the end of that consolidation process was kind of like what's happening now. The Federal Reserve was in the middle of a tapering program. The gold stocks bottomed in September, which I think they bottomed in September this time also. And then it took about 4 months for a bottom to be created. The sector popped for a while and then even came back to nearly test the bottom again in mid-2019. Then it took off. So that was an accumulative bottom after a long consolidation process. So that could very well take place again here. Because if you take a look at what's going on with the consolidation, it's been about 16 months now. So we bottomed in September, and I think now it looks to me like we could easily retest that bottom, but I think that might be the worst of it. I can't really see it going that much lower because these things are so bombed out. But if you add in another liquidity event like we saw in March of 2020, then all bets are off. You know, a lot of these stocks, and because remember, the GDX and the GDXJ are stuffed with mostly cash flowing companies. You know, the GDXJ is technically a junior ETF, but it's not. It's got mostly mid-tier miners with some majors and a lot of juniors, but very low exposure to those juniors. So if you're holding a lot of juniors that are non-cash flowing during a liquidity event, you know, fundamentals are thrown out the window. You know, these things do the opposite of throw off cash. They consume cash. So they're sold first. So if we get another liquidity event, then absolutely all bets are off. Then we could see the GDXJ go a lot lower and the GDX go a lot lower with it. But of course, that's probably another discussion for another time. But right now, in an event like in a situation like this, I don't see the GDX or the GDXJ going much lower than their September lows at this time.
Now, Dave, we've been in this sector for a while, and one thing that holds true to me is never say never when it comes to stocks going low or stocks going too high. So back up your comment here by saying it won't go below this level except for a big liquidity event, because look, even if we get just a bleed in the markets, this sector has been beat up and it's underperformed the vast majority of other sectors. I realize that can't happen forever, but it can go on longer than anybody, especially the gold bugs, think it will.
Absolutely. That is a very true statement. So you just have to be mindful of the climate around you. And if we do start to see a lot of panic selling, And then absolutely, it could come into these stocks that are already bombed out. But the caveat here to really concentrate on is that the last time we had the liquidity event in March of 2020, first of all, the gold stocks were going up into it. If you take a look at the chart, I'm looking at the chart right now, the weekly chart, the GDXJ hit 46 and it became overbought in February of 2020. And then the bottom fell out of everything, during the COVID panic, the lockdown panic. And so basically what I'm saying is it was already overbought when the liquidity event started. So if this liquidity event takes place again soon here, then if you take the basically the gold stocks have already been bludgeoned to death before the liquidity event. So basically what I'm saying is there's not that much selling, there's not that much room for more selling, I don't think. But also, you could feel more comfortable holding juniors now because if you're holding the right ones, they're cashed up. In March of 2020, the capital markets before that liquidity event weren't very friendly, and there were a lot of juniors looking to raise capital. So those juniors were hit particularly hard that didn't have much cash. And now, although the capital markets have dried up now because they're sensing another liquidity event here, a lot of these juniors, the quality ones, they did the right things and they cashed up during that move into August of 2020. So you just got to make sure that you're in the right ones to hold during a possible liquidity event.
Well, Dave, just on the topic of the stocks, which a lot of people listening, are probably less likely to be trading gold back and forth and much more likely to be following the mining stocks. We had talked off mic a little bit about, having a margin of safety in some of the plays. Is that the way you're looking at it? When everything's on sale, you can take the speculative risk on drill plays, or you could get in developers that have ounces in the ground. You can get in producers that are small scale producers with growth, or larger producers or royalty companies. What area are you liking the most at this point?
Well, if you're asking me as someone that is waiting to get into this sector or just starting to get into this sector, I'm already in it. I'm holding a lot of juniors right now. But if you're just getting into it, then you want to, the first things you want to get into are a few high quality majors and maybe a royalty company or two and some growth oriented producers, because those are the companies that are going to bottom first for one. And those are the companies that are going to withstand a liquidity event better because they do produce cash flow.
Well, just to clarify, but assuming that somebody's already in position, Dave, and because I would assume that most people listening now are resource investors trading amongst themselves, so would you be more apt, once you've got the basics taken care of and you've got some of the lower risk plays in place, the ones that are going to bounce first, would you be more apt to go after companies that have optionality because of their ounces in the ground, but they're beat up, or companies that are cashed up, explorers that have a good drill program, have a good team, or both? What if you're somebody that's looking to diversify into the sell-off because there's so many fishing line, drawdowns, which ones would catch your eye at this point?
I would be avoiding early stage companies right now. I don't care how much cash they have. If they're a drill play yet to make a discovery, especially, I'd be avoiding those. If you're into a drill play that's already made a discovery, then that move has probably already been made, and it's probably being sold off. You're seeing a lot of these companies that have made a discovery. A lot of those pops are selling off. So those aren't the companies I'd be looking to accumulate. I'd be looking to accumulate companies that have already proven up a deposit that they're de-risking. It's high margin, it's in a top-tier jurisdiction, and a lot of, most of those are on sale here. So why should I bother speculating in something that has a chance to make a discovery or has a chance to find a large deposit when I can buy something for pennies on the dollar right now that has a strong management team? They did the right thing. They raised the money at the right time with minimal dilution, and they're de-risking a project in a top-tier jurisdiction. Those are the companies I'm going to concentrate on. And a lot of those, believe me, have come off between 50 and 70% from their August highs, from their August 2020 highs.
Dave, elaborate a little bit more. What do you consider high margin? What lower level of prices in terms of the underlying metal price that the company is showing that these things are high margin? What do you look for there? And do you want to share any companies that you think fit this scenario?
Sure. I mean, a company that has defined a 3 million ounce plus deposit in a safe jurisdiction. They've got a great management team that is proven mine builders, or they've proven to be successful in taking a company from de-risking deposit to the finance or even the construction stage and then selling it for a large premium. And any, I would say a deposit that makes money at $1,400 gold. And there's plenty of them out there right now that are being sold off that fit that description. There's two that I wrote up in my column of about a month or so ago. The first one is Bluestone Resources. The company is trading well off its lows already. They're de-risking a project in Guatemala. They basically turned the project from just an underground, from just a open pit to project, and now it has an underground component. So they're waiting for an amended permit before they get a financing package. They've got plenty of cash. They got 28 million cash US. They're waiting for this. So basically it's fully permitted. They're just waiting for the amended permit to get the finance package. And it's run by the Lundin Group, who's, you know, successfully built mines all over the world. And they've been buying shares in the open market. And then the other one is Bear Creek Mining. They've got this huge silver, zinc, lead project in Peru. You know, it's had a lot of issues because of the political problems going on there. It's already at the finance stage, and the COVID restrictions. You know, they couldn't get bankers out there to see the project because of the COVID restrictions. So it's just been waiting for them to get a finance project. And then recently, the new very left president, Pedro Castillo, gave his seal of approval to the project because, you know, he sees all the money that could come into the government's coffers. So the stock has had a huge move ever since he gave its seal of approval. Most of that move's come off. So it's presenting another buying opportunity here.
Well, Dave, thanks for sharing those two ideas with our audience. It's something people can do some further homework into. And companies like that have ounces in the ground and are at a deep discount, but eventually are going to have a deposit that works even at lower gold prices or lower silver prices, are definitely things to keep on the menu. One other, like, I guess, bit of sunshine we can offer resource investors is we did see more M&A today, and yes, we've seen a lot recently. So we've seen, you know, the Kirkland Lake, Agnico Eagle takeover. We saw the Calibre take over Fiore. We've seen the Pretium takeover. We've now seen Amarillo Gold get an offer from Hochschild today. Walk us through why this could still be another good sign for resource investors.
It's a great sign. First of all, it's a cash deal. Well, it had to be a cash deal because it's a London company taking over a Canadian company. Significant premium, 66% premium. The stock's up 87% today, I think. And it's also the premium is at a share price that is at a multi-year high. So everybody made money on this, is basically what I'm saying. So that's what we like to see. And also, it's an all cash deal, and there's going to be a spin out of another project in it. So these are the things we like to see. It's almost kind of got lost in the shuffle today on the big, huge gold reversal, but it's very, you know, it's very positive for more M&A to come in the sector, which, you know, we've seen a few of these deals recently, and I think it's going to continue.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Dave, but I just didn't want to end on a negative note when there was at least a positive transaction today. And it also takes that money and gets it circulating within the sector. The more of these companies that get taken over, those people that have the win, you know, exit and then can roll into another stock, and it gets people thinking about who's next, which company could get acquired next, and it gets other companies thinking that, hey, not only is it a good time for retail investors or institutions to position, it's a good time for the bigger companies to position and bolt on some projects to their pipeline. So we'll keep following along. Dave, we always appreciate you having us, having you on the KE Report and getting your thoughts. And thanks for spending some time sharing your insights with our audience.
Always great to be here. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And keep the faith out there. It's eventually going to happen.
Thanks, Dave.